Following is a one-minute introduction, which will be followed by the treatment. To find out about the founding of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, which was founded in 1988 by William and Helen Wright, please navigate to the menu, which is in the top left corner of every page, and select About, which is near the bottom of the menu. If you would like to contact us in a private, secure manner, please send a message which is obtained from clicking on the Contact button, which is next to the About selection at the bottom area of the menu. This is the end of the introduction. The extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute follows. The topic of this extemporaneous prayer treatment is self-purification, intelligent schedule, and disciplined monitoring. We want to make sure ill feeling toward anyone or anything, any event, any action or inaction, anything at all that has to do with activity or an individual or a group of individuals or universal thought from individuals. The first three quotes at the beginning of Science and Health make it very clear that, number one, I should always be looking for the truth, and when I understand it, I will be free of anything that's unlike truth. Second, that my thinking has a direct impact on my life, so I want to make sure that my thinking is pure. The third one is that if I comply with the laws of God, in other words, live His qualities and translate anything that comes to me into spiritual terms, as did Jesus when He saw someone that had a problem. He did not see them as a man or an individual with a problem, but He saw the perfect man. And also that I will benefit if I abide by the laws of God, by living all of the qualities that are expressed in the seven terms for God, and the operators, which is the word Christ, Christianity, and Science, and the four levels that are on page 115 and 116, to make sure I'm addressing the topic at the correct level. For one needs to go to the lowest level necessary in order to meet the topic where it is at that point, and then raise thought upward toward the immortal level. There's only one source of everything, and that is the source that is defined on page 465 under the definition of God. Page 587, also under the definition of God, and on that same page, the definition of good. Also, the definition of man on page 591 should be well in thought. And also what Mary Baker Eddy said, that we are constantly barraged with all kinds of different deceitful, evil beliefs, and that therefore we must have a model in thought that is of perfection, so we can immediately jump to that after denying that any evil is unreal, and jump to that and amplify that in our consciousness. The more one devotes to thinking about God and His manifestation, and of course man is a part of God's manifestation, in fact, that is a manifestation that God gave total dominion to, over all the earth and everything above the earth and everything under the waters. So that is definitely the area of a very important focus. F.L. Rawson, in his book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, has given us an example of 1,315 different ailments, as well as a definition of the functionality of each of the main body parts. So we can address anything and everything that one could imagine directly at the root of the problem. However, there must be care given to whether or not we are being deceived on what the real problem is, because evil, preferring to be deceitful and therefore tricking its subject, we have to be prepared for that and to recognize it at the onset of the suggestion, refute it, then expose it so it can be totally eradicated. We cannot be struggling with a deceitful, hidden problem and make progress on the purpose of the project or the relationship which is being attacked by these latent, hidden, deceitful attacks by mortal mind. We must address it and take care of it, being careful that we recognize the real problem and not a decoy. For evil loves to work, if you can use the word love with evil, but it cultivates based on being hidden and deceitful. Right now, at this very moment, the President of the United States has plans for a very important and comprehensive event on July 4. Today is June 30, so it's only 5 days from now. The activities that are planned will have a permanent impact on the future of America and the whole planet Earth, because all of the other countries look to America as their model. That is, the countries that want to be sovereign from an overbearing, overreaching government that is very likely unelected, but wants to control everyone within their domain. One thing we must always realize is that there never should be a personality involved in any of our work. For the sooner that we reduce whatever the topic is to the event or the negative of the real, true spiritual quality, then the sooner we can discover if it's the right one and to root it out, which means we have to expose it. If we're exposing the wrong problem, it's not going to solve the one at hand. Keeping in mind that, number one, evil works under the cover of deceit and under the cover of decoys. So it is very easily to be tricked, because typically when someone works to solve a problem, they work on it from a basis of innocence and therefore may not have their thought protected from this kind of problem that may not even be discovered. In other words, the root of it, the cause of it, may not be easily discovered. We always want to look at the big picture, for only the big picture can give us a view that will permit us to see the possible elements that are interfering with the harmony that is natural for God's man and everything within the individual's realm of experience. We should begin by thinking about what kind of projects in which we are involved, which are most significant, that will have an impact on us individually and perhaps others that are around us, such as our family, our friends, our business associates, our local government, or anything at all that touches our thought or on which our thought rests. So we start with the big picture and then we work down. The same thing with the level of our thought that was referred to on page 115 to 116. We start at the top, which is immortal mind, which is God and man and idea. These are the spiritual view of all existence. So we have to start there to see, are we doing anything that has an impact on the universal thought? And if we do, that would be the first place to begin. Because if there's anything that evil would try to attack, it would be the reflection of goodness out into the universe of thought. Because that is what destroys evil on a grand scale. When one has a healing in a particular area, that reflects out into the universe of thought. So, of course, the so-called fake forces of evil will try to dilute, stop, or reverse any progress in eradicating it by having a healing. Because every healing eradicates evil that is related to that particular situation. And when we have a healing, that's a direct slap in the face to a so-called mortal mind, which connects with a so-called mortal body and defeats a so-called mortal belief. Right now, the absolute most important thing that anybody could be working on to nurture it to fulfillment is the topic that was mentioned about the topics that are going to be discovered by many people for the first time who listen to the speech of the President of the United States. Because he is supposed to announce what was just mentioned in this prayer treatment. And if he does, that will be chopping at the root of all of evil in all of America and much of other countries. All of the international organizations are basically rooted in evil. They have switched from the motive that they were founded on, which was serving the customer, to a motive of money. They want to make as much money as possible, and most of them are not interested in serving the customer, and they don't realize that serving the customer is the thing that guarantees the future of their very existence. Because they're blinded by the materialism. Many of them have been blackmailed because the corrupt intelligence agencies want to control everything and everyone. And they've been working at it for a very long time. Basically, since World War II, our country has been controlled totally by the intelligence agencies. And before that, going really back to the 1800s, really even further back, it really goes back to when America was first discovered by the Europeans. And immediately, human nature got its wedge in there and wanted to control. New Hampshire was the only state that refused to have a king because they wanted to put a king in all the other colonies. And a king would be something that would not be elected by the population, but would be controlled by someone else that was responsible for putting in the king. And of course, that would probably be the three most controlling countries in Europe, which are England, France, and Italy. in Italy primarily by the Vatican. Because if there's one country or one religion that would like to see Christian Science destroyed, it would be the Catholic Pope and the Catholic religion. And it's not the Catholic, it's the Jesuits, which are the evil portion of Catholics. Catholics are basically good people, and they want to have a religious life that is guided by principles. But unfortunately, they have been hijacked by the Jesuits. So the Jesuits out of the Vatican and the powers that be out of France and England, both the government and the religions, have been trying to control America from the very beginning. They're the ones that had their sailors out there that were looking for a new world. And they found it. But the people that wanted to settle here wanted to get away from the oppression and the suppression by what they were living under with a dictatorship by kings in the country that they were emigrating away from. So the real focus needs to be on understanding more clearly what is government, what is God, what is the extremity of God's power and the realm in which God controls. If we look at the definition of God on 465, it makes it very clear exactly the answer to those questions. For it says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. You can't destroy something that's incorporeal. Something that is divine, that means it's perfect. If it's supreme, it is not subordinate to anything. And if it's infinite, there's no limit in any direction, on any topic. And of course, mind is everything to do with the mental. Spirit is everything to do with substance. And of course, substance is flawless, and it is transparent because of being flawless, and it is reflective because it is flawless and transparent. And mind, of course, is because it is the mental, it has all capacity. It's in control of all faculties. It is all creativeness. It is all functionality. In fact, the definition of good defines God on page 587 in the glossary, chapter 17, as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. Omnipresence means that it's everywhere. Omniscience means that it is all knowing, all intelligence, and all wisdom. Omnipotence obviously means that there is no other power, because omni means one, only, and all. And omniaction means there's no other action, because again, omni means one, only, and all. So could there be an accident? An accident is an example of action. There cannot be an accident if God is all action, because God is omni-intelligence. And God is also divine principle, which is always in balance and always harmonious. How could there be an accident with God having those qualities? Not to mention that God is love. And love is fulfillment, it's nurturing, it's a representation of perfection. God could not be involved in creating an accident. Creating an accident is the object of fantasy, not the object of omni-intelligence or principle, which is all in balance and harmonious. It could not be an object of intelligence, which is mind or knowing. How could you have an accident if you know everything? No two things could collide. No single thing could have a problem. From omni-intelligence, everything is coordinated. You already know everything if you're all-knowing. If you know everything, you could avoid an accident. And you would. One of the favorite things of the belief of evil is to attack and cause chaos whenever things are harmonious. And of course, it's the easiest thing for it to do when everything is harmonious, because then the guarding of thought is very often relaxed. If there's problems, then one is more alert than if everything is running smoothly. So if things are running smoothly, we have to be extra alert. There was a church that was making very good progress, and they sent a letter to Mary Baker Eddy, and they were boasting about their progress. They said, everything is going so smoothly, we are so pleased with the progress that the church has been making, you know, their local branch church. And Mary Baker Eddy wrote back and said, that's too bad. Because if everything is harmonious, that means you're not seeing the underlying evil that is lurking. It may even be active, but you're missing it because you think everything is running so smoothly. Always, always, always be alert to the possibility of evil lurking, and in the least obvious manner, in the most hidden manner, deceitful, a decoy. Many ways that one can be tricked into believing that things are all hunky-dory when in fact they are in grave danger. You could be in a car race, or a motorcycle race, or a boat race, or an airplane race, any kind of a race of competition, a foot race. You could be running in a race for the marathon or triathlon, or a short 100-meter dash. And you might be ahead of everyone else, thinking everything is so great, and you're so proud of yourself, and then you stumble and fall, because you're not paying attention to what you should be doing. You should be thinking about only one thing, and that is the perfect way to run this race right this moment. That's the only thing you should not be thinking about. You not should be looking at anyone else on the track. You should be thinking about one thing only. That is perfection. And how can I strive to get closer and closer to it? We should not only be drawing our attention to the safety of the country and the safety of the event, but also the safety of everyone involved in the event, including the President of the United States. He has had many attempts on his life. I think it's something like 15 or so. Two have been made very public, but there's like another dozen or so that was not publicly known, but was an attempt on his life. We need to know how to pray to protect anything and everything that's involved. And we teach that in these prayer treatments. We have a button on the website in the header, which is the top of every single page, that says Heal Everything. And it gives step-by-step instructions on how you can enter into a consistent path of progress, no matter what your present level is, and go up from there. It's not an easy road, because number one, you have to be a good manager of your time in order to devote the amount of time required to advance your present level to a higher level. And you need to be absolutely consistent about it. The race between the turtle and the rabbit took off like fire, like wildfire. If you are genuine about improving your spirituality from the level that you are now to anything higher and more progressive, more refined, more pure, more definite, more consistent, so that you will have more and greater things that you will be able to accomplish in your healing, then you need to be prepared to have good control of your schedule, which is time management, good control of goal management, meaning establishing a specific goal and working toward it and not accepting interruptions unless it's unexpected things that need to be taken care of quickly. And if you do that, along with having the skills, for example, if you're going to be reading, you need to have a very proficient skills on reading. And we give you all the information on how to do this and the resources that you can use. Because if you're going to improve your spirituality, you have to be improving everything about your life. Learning more about God is not any different than learning more about any other topic. You have to find out what the facts are, and you have to learn them. And you have to practice them. You have to live them. You have to make them your own. That means you have to adapt it to you. That doesn't mean you dilute the rules that are required to learn whatever the topic is, but you have to adapt it so that it's tailored for your needs. A shotgun is not effective if you want to hit a specific, refined target. You need a rifle. We have the rifle. We tell you how to use it. We tell you how to make sure you're aiming at the right thing. We tell you when to pull the trigger. We tell you everything you need to know about it in terms that work for anyone who is receptive to improving themselves. Keeping in mind that improving yourself is not a single isolated topic, but it's the whole picture about you. How you think, how you talk, how you act, about every part of your life. You can't go into study, and I don't care if you study all day long, and then when you go to sleep, dream about something that is totally evil. Or you get up the next day and you're involved in thinking, talking, and being involved in an evil act. Remember, evil is anything that is less than 100% perfect and godlike. Anything at all. Being evil 1 minute a day spoils your whole day. Because you have diluted what you have been prepared to build on. And you tear it all down. You cannot build a foundation unless you are looking at every corner of your life every moment of the day. No, you can't tell a little white lie. You can't cheat or steal a penny from this person and a dollar from that one and $1,000 from another one. You can't bear false witness about some poor innocent family, but you're respectful of those that have money. You honor them. You admire them. You want to be like them. Jesus was humble. Washing someone's dirty feet is probably the smelliest, unpleasant thing you can do, almost, unless you're giving a bath to a pig. And that might be what you're doing if you're bathing someone's dirty feet. They might smell really bad. Might be really dirty. Maybe they walked through cow manure. That can be a very revolting development. We have to be prepared in our thought to explore, expose, and destroy the dirtiest evil we could think of, or the most attractive. Because the most attractive will throw us off balance. Because we might think that, boy, that sounds so good, I want to be involved in it. Not realizing that it tears down everything you're doing in attempting to build a good, spiritual, strong foundation. You can't be listening to foul language. And they today have it in everything. They have it in the music. They have it on all of the news media. Even you go to a big sports game, they will have it on the scoreboard cards. Or there'll be people in the stand, you know, the viewers of the event, that might put up signs that say the worst kind of language you can think of. And it doesn't matter who it is. It could be a child that learned it in school. It could be a girl, a beautiful woman. I've seen foul language come out of some very attractive looking people, man or women. That doesn't make it right. If they want to sell liquor or smoking or any evil act, they will use the most attractive people they can find. If they're going to advertise for a woman of ill repute, you think they're going to have some ugly-looking woman? No, they're going to have one with the perfect shape and big smile and beautiful hair and everything else. Just like they do for advertising liquor or tobacco or anything. And the more attractive it is to our personal senses, the bigger a decoy it is. And if they combine money and authority and sensuality, then they're hitting three different areas at the same time. And if they're trying to get our vision and our hearing and other senses of feeling and smelling and taste, get that all together, and it's like they're hitting us at every angle. Because the more senses that are used, whether we're working on the side of good or of evil, the more effective it is. That's why we have to be living the qualities of God to get the most effective training into our consciousness. I attended a course from a fellow that was very proficient in a number of different topics. He was really good. And one time, and I traveled around to just attend his courses, because he would present them at different locations. And one time, at the beginning of the course, he says, I would like to see some examples of people that are using what I've been teaching. Because there were people there that had, like me, had taken several of his courses. Said, I want to see who's actually using these ideas. I don't want you to just sit there and listen. I want to see them applied. Very few people admitted that they were actually utilizing the ideas. A number of the qualities of mind were mentioned, and spirit. How about soul? I mentioned sense. That's what soul is. It's our sight, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Mary Baker Eddy, in the Blue Book by Richard Oakes, it's on our website, page 222, she describes the five spiritual senses. And from 222 to 227, it's elaborated on. That's how we identify. Do we want to be able to only identify things of a material nature? Because that's all we can do with our physical senses. We have to look deeper to identify spiritual things. A focus on money does not help us if we seem to have a lack of what it takes to have food, shelter, and clothing. If we're living on the street, focusing on money is not the solution to the problem. We have to, first of all, change the base from material to spiritual. John asked Jesus, is there a material body? Then he asked him, is there a material universe? Is there a material universe, Jesus? Jesus answered both of the questions. We have the proof of what he said. It's in a museum over in London. Check it out on the website. You will find the answer. We have it up at the top in our header. I will give you a clue about a couple of things that are absolutely mandatory if you want to be able to heal anything. Look at the pros. Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy. And you can look at a couple of the other real experts that were followers of Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy. Joel Goldsmith, F.L. Rawson, Wentworth Winslow. They all had 15-minute appointments. At the end of 15 minutes, the people walked out of there healed. Their waiting area was filled all day long. They turned them out every 15 minutes. They didn't see any reason to prolong the event. They were like Jesus. He practiced 30 years. Well, he was 30 years old, so I presume it was something less than 30 years. You know, from the time he was a young man and he was practicing his carpentry trade up until he was 30, he was preparing for the healing ministry. It's available to anyone. All you have to do is make the effort and know how to do it. We tell you how to do it. We can't do it for you. No one can work out your salvation for you. If you had all the money in the world and you hired the best practitioners in the world, they couldn't do it for you. They may give you some clues on what you have to do. In fact, one time I asked a longtime expert Christian Science practitioner that I'd known for a number of years, and she was good. She really knew what she was doing. And I said, if someone calls you, tell me how you conduct yourself in giving them a treatment. She said the first thing she did was listen to them patiently, because she said usually when someone calls, they want to offload a bunch of garbage and they want someone to listen to them. So they give you all the details. And of course, the more details you get, the worse it is. Because it's implanting in your own consciousness the problem that they have. And what you want to implant in your own consciousness is the perfection of God and man and the relationship between them. And that that individual that's calling you is absolutely a perfect likeness of God. But she says that's what she does. She says she feels that that is the first step, is to listen so they can get it off of their chest. And then when they hang up the phone, she devotes whatever time is necessary to try to remove every single thing they said out of her thought. Other than if they gave them a, you know, if they mentioned the name of a disease or something, that she may want to make a note of that in her journal, just so she knows what she is dealing with. And as mentioned earlier in this prayer treatment, what people think is the problem is very likely not the problem, because evil deceives and they put up decoys. They're like a mushroom. They like to hide underneath where there's no light. But that's how she proceeds. So she listens to the problem in detail, everything they want to say about it, and then she devotes whatever time is needed to get rid of everything she heard. That's no easy task. It's like you have something that's really bothering you. How easy is it to get rid of every element of thought about it? Very difficult. And the more disgruntled we are about it, the more it's embedded in thought, and the more difficult it is to erase it. One time, I had someone that was trying to unload on me a bunch of evil about someone that I knew was innocent, and they were a very dear person and friend. And what I did is I didn't look them straight in the face, because what I wanted to do was to reiterate in my own thought the perfect nature about that individual. So while they were ranting and raving, I was thinking about the opposite. They went on a good 5 minutes, and I would say that I probably didn't hear more than a few words, because it was so bad and they were feeling so strong about it, and I knew the individual was innocent, so I didn't want to hear anything they said, but I knew they had to get it off their chest. So they rambled on with exclamation marks, and when they got done and we parted, I devoted my full effort to focusing on God and man as being the image and likeness of God, included as a part of man, of God's manifestation. And I never did accept what they said to be true. And that individual was going through a very difficult time. And I kept that thought about rejecting any idea that they were guilty, because God's man couldn't be guilty. And eventually, we had a conversation, and they had told me that they had had a very difficult time they were going through, and mentioned that they had had a complete healing about it. And I'm not saying I had anything to do with it at all, But the point is, they were going through a tough time, and that individual apparently had conversation or contact with them during that time and made their opinion about the individual's character based on them being in a very difficult situation, but them not giving that any consideration. They were just judging it from a surface level, and they were forming their opinion of that person. I may have not had any impact on it whatsoever. I don't know. I never brought up the topic with anyone. But I do know that we have to clean it out of our own thought about someone else. Jesus had, I think it's 41 parables where he was teaching stories about different situations. And in every single one of those parables, he never mentioned personality. He never mentioned names. He would say a certain man did this or that or whatever, and his son did this or that, or his father did this or that, or whatever. But it was always in an impersonal nature, and that's how he taught. He taught as a problem with recognizing the right thing to do and what kind of a problem it causes if you don't. And that's what we have to do with everything that we do in our treatments. If the government seems to be totally corrupt, that's the more strenuous we have to stick to the idea that God is the only government. Mind is the only governor. Mind is the only controller, the only director, the only administrator, the only judge, the only jury, the only lawmaker. There is not a judicial branch and an administrative branch and legal branch and whatever. We are either on the side of God or we are outside of the laws of God. And if we're outside of the laws of God, we better recognize it and get on the right side. Because it's a dead end if we follow a material sense of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, instead of reversing it, seeing that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. Why? Because God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God. And we, you and me, are God's image and likeness. Therefore, you and me, we're not material. We are spiritual. Everyone walking is spiritual, and we have to see that the real man is spiritual. And if we claim that to be the truth, it will be realized. May not be in 5 minutes like the pros that only had 15-minute appointments, but it will happen. And if you follow the steps that we provide under how to heal anything, you will see progress along lines that you never dreamed of before. It opens up an entirely new dimension of opportunity in progressing along the path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being. Can we do any good about July 4th? Today is June 30, as mentioned. There's 5 days. Does one raindrop do any good? Does one grain of sand do any good? Does one thought from only one individual out of 8.3 billion people do any good? Mary Baker Eddy said a few people that understand Christian Science and are working properly can change the world. Remember, Spirit is flawless, transparent, and reflects. And what happens when you reflect? It's the opposite of absorb. If you take an evil, you absorb it. It becomes a part of you. If you see spirit and reflect it, it reflects out for the benefit of all mankind. There's no limit. It's like throwing a pebble out in a calm body of water. It makes circles. It reaches out further and further and further. And that's what happens when we reflect out goodness. Edmund Burke said very important words. He said, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Things don't just get better, or things don't just get worse. It's a matter of victory or failure. When good men do nothing, which means good people, doesn't matter what your so-called sex is, or whether you're man, woman, or child. A child can do something good. It can have a long-lasting effect. Jesus loved children. They were a symbol of innocence, open thought, trustworthiness. The pureness of a child is a beautiful thing to experience. The joy that you can see in a child's face, beautiful. We can learn from anything that exists. Everything on planet Earth has a purpose, and we can learn from it. Every experience has a purpose, and we can learn from it. I mentioned mind, spirit, soul, principle. Life, as we can imagine, is living the qualities of God. My wife and I bought a house one time, and it was from a well-known decorator. And he came to visit us after we'd moved in and were there for a while, got things set up in a proper way for living, because he spent very little time in it. He was traveling around the world collecting all the things that he was using for special different accessories and so forth to use in the homes he was decorating. And he said, wow, what a difference from when I was living here. We said, what's the difference? He said, you're living here. You gave life to it. You know, we had some live flowers and, you know, the kind of things that make it feel like a home. And here was, he was a well-known decorator. He had his homes in Architectural Digest, one of the magazines of international recognition. So life, we can either give it life, we can give it vitality, or we can be lazy, we can be passive, and do the opposite. If we do things slowly, we're yielding to death, because death is the opposite of life. If we do things with vigorous activity and persevere along a good path, then we're giving it life. If you smile when you're walking in a crowd, you're giving life to your expression. If you're friendly with a stray dog or someone that's in need that you see, maybe in a wheelchair or homeless person or something, kindness never fails to radiate goodness. If we're walking in a crowd, we have an opportunity to have an influence. And that influence can be negative or positive. If we want it to be positive, it's up to us. We make our own life. by the way we conduct ourselves, we can have an impact on America, which then could have an impact on all the other countries that are looking to America as the symbol of whether or not they can make it or not. Because they're under such suppression, many of them are under dictatorships. All of Europe is under a dictatorship. The ones controlling Europe were not elected. The ones controlling America, for the most part, are not elected. We're expecting July 4th to have a major impact because we have some people that are taking a stand in addition to the Institute. We've been exposing the evil for a long time, and we're one of the few that does, along Christian Science organizations. But it has to be done. Mary Baker Eddy wrote the chapter on Animal Magnetism Unmasked, Chapter 5. For the very purpose of bringing to the attention of the serious student that evil is lurking out there and we have to unmask it. We have to expose it. Most of it destroys itself once it has been exposed. The point is that the people that are involved in the evil or the entities that are involved covered up. They control the media, the mainstream media, and they all say the same thing. That ought to be a clue. They're reading talking points. They're given talking points, and they all are given the same talking points. And it's based on human mind responds to repetition. I took a course one time, and the guy was supposed to really be tops in his field. And he kept repeating the same thing in a little different way. And he said everything at least 3 times. So at the first break, I went up and talked to him. And I said, I know there must be a reason for you to be repeating these things. But I've never been in any kind of a class where anyone was so consistent about doing it. He said, I've found that the human mind remembers almost nothing if it hears it once. If it hears it twice, it remembers more. And 3 times more than if it only hears it twice. So I say everything at least 3 times. And I try to say it in a little different way so you have some variety, but it's basically the same key points. He said, you want to know how you can remember everything for a long time? I said, of course. He said, you have to do it. You have to live it. You have to be it. You have to be an example of it. And that's what we have to do if we're going to learn how to heal everything. We have to live it. We have to make it our own. One of the things you need to do that we tell you in the steps that we outline in detail is you have to record everything. Because when you record it, you're using another sense. In fact, 2 more senses. Because you're talking and you're hearing. In fact, you have to do some thinking. And if you don't look up any words at all, well, no, you're not serious. Because Mary Baker Eddy had the second largest vocabulary next to Noah Webster himself. That's what we are believed. That's what we understand to believe is true. Second only to the man that wrote the dictionary. And if you read through the entire textbook 1 time, and then if you start all over acting like you have never seen the book before, and then do it again, act like you've never seen the book before, and each time you record it, and you put it in your own words and record it, take a paragraph that has a title. You know, the book is filled with subtitles. Take one of those subtitles. Read from beginning to end where it is in the text. I won't give you any more clues about how to heal everything, because if you're really interested, you're going to have to get serious. The first thing you do is you read it. You read the steps. Just like if you know how to read anything, you skim over it first and get a general idea of what it's about. And you look at the titles, subtitles. Any summaries, any introduction. Mortimer Adler was the expert. He was the Britannica chief editor for several decades. If you want to know how to properly read a book, there's your Bible. If you want to know properly how to listen, because we have hundreds of MP3s, hundreds. We have over 300 of extemporaneous ones. And we have more that are audios of books that we have from a lot of our authors. You have to be proficient in everything you do. If you enjoy tennis as a hobby, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good, clean sport. You should be taking tennis lessons all the time that you are involved in the hobby. You enjoy piano? Are you a piano player? You should take lessons all the time from someone better than you, someone that knows more than you, all the time. Are you a singer? Professional singers have coaches. Professional sports players have coaches. You want to always be improving everything you do. If you're going to read, become better and better in reading. If you're going to be listening to MP3s, become better and better in listening. There are so many tools available today that one wonders what kind of a challenge it must have been back in the prior centuries when they didn't even have paper to write on. Although one wonders, they may have had the latest of every technology that we have. They built the pyramids, the big pyramids in Gaza. My goodness, how in the world did they accomplish such a feat? How about the lost cities they've discovered? There was something going on there that we don't have all the information on. We've discussed what life is about. How about truth? Truth is consciousness. Truth is motive. Truth is staying on track. Truth is the opposite of a mistake. Just like spirit is the opposite of matter, truth is the opposite of error. And if we have the right motive, then we will be conscious of it with truth. And we will be able to have the correct thought, speech, and action, because it's going to be guided by our motive and our consciousness. I'm sure everyone has had an experience where they felt like something was against what they believed was right, and so they refused to do it. They were going to do something that wasn't fair to all the parties concerned. Everyone has had that feeling, and we need to take a stand for what we know is right. Remember the quote from Edmund Burke, "Evil triumphs when good men do nothing." When good men make mistakes, they correct them. Everyone that is not walking in water makes mistakes all the time. If someone has never made a mistake, then they've never done anything. They're probably not alive. Never were alive. It was a dream. Love is the one that's left. And you can imagine what a mother does. If you're not a mother, if you're one of these weightlifting men that has muscles everywhere because you build them up as your career, or you're a boxer that needs to exercise a lot, or a football player, hockey player, if you're a runner, you're doing a lot of exercising. What are you doing every time you exercise? Every time. You're nurturing qualities that are necessary to be successful in whatever you are doing. You're practicing. And you're nurturing the requirements to improve yourself to get closer to perfection. We need to be doing it no matter what we're doing. And we need to have balance in our life, especially if we're involved in other people. We have families, a wife, children. If we made that choice, then we have to be good at it. We have to be nurturing whatever needs to be nurtured to bring it to fulfillment. I don't care if you're Mr. Strongman. If you're not gentle and kind to your wife, you're probably going to have a difficult time. You cannot be practicing your strongman characteristics if you're dealing with a woman. You have to be adapting to the situation. Same with your children. You have to be loving and kind. You have to be nurturing what their need is. We have to do that in our prayer treatments. We have to nurture what the need is. If we're facing a problem, whether it's a problem that we're seeing in the government, like has been discussed here with the 4th of July and what the plan is, and there's no question that evil is going to try to make a challenge, because every good event has an opposite that tries to destroy it or prevent it from happening. And it's deceitful and a decoy, so they're going to try to blame any event, if there is such an event that is negative. They're going to try to blame it on someone that's totally innocent. Look at the January 6th event. They've now proven that these people are all innocent. And that it was all rigged by the corrupt intelligence agencies for the purpose of trying to take down the President of the United States. We need to conduct our lives in a professional way. We need to utilize our time properly. We need to utilize goal management properly. We need to be efficient in everything we're doing, whether it's reading, listening, writing, talking, whatever it is. Because we want to be reflecting the perfection of God in every activity in which we're involved. Everyone is capable. The only difference between a genius and someone that is an average individual is the application. A genius is generally an organized person that is focused on a meaningful goal, and they stick with the goal, utilizing practical approaches and scientific methods and overcoming the normal limitations of a human. That's all it is. Anyone can be a genius. All they have to do is follow the characteristics of what a genius is. Someone that is really successful, what do they do? How do they get there? Anyone can do it. And what your goal is needs to be dependent upon where your frame of mind is. If your goal is to make a lot of money, then you're probably barking up the wrong tree. If your goal is to give the best customer service that any one or any company could possibly give, then you're barking up the right tree, not the wrong one. Doesn't matter what the product or service is, as long as it's a benefit to all concerned and it's fairly priced. The important thing, if you're the owner of a company, is how does the company conduct themselves when dealing with everyone else? I don't care if it's someone coming in off the street asking for a job. or whether it's your most valuable customer, you need to treat them the same way, as an image and likeness of God. How would you want to be treated? The one coming in off the street may be desperate. Maybe you had a time in your life that you were desperate. Then you would really be able to appreciate what it means for people to respect you and try to be of assistance to you and giving the best kindness and customer service they could do in dealing with you as an individual. So in other words, what we do is not the most important thing. The most important thing is how we do it, how we conduct ourselves. Are we reflecting the qualities of God with every thought, speech, and action? Are we letting a light shine like a lighthouse so that no matter what kind of storm comes up, it's still out there shining? That's the way we need to be. A lighthouse is usually built on rock. Are we built on rock? Do we have a solid foundation? We have the tools to make it solid. Infinite progression is concrete being. How about having our life and our foundation built on concrete? Concrete being. All the tools are available. We need to take advantage of it. No one can do it for you. We show you how to do it in text and in audios. You can contact us by phone through our contact page, which is at the bottom of the menu. And if you're in the U.S. or Canada, we will call you. We don't do much in text responses because it's too time consuming and we're all very busy. We're trying to utilize our time. Some of us are working our whole waking hours, except for eating and preparing for sleep, taking a shower and whatnot. And we've had our whole staff working 7 days a week, many months at a time sometimes. 7 days, 12 hours a day. We put forth the effort to try and strive. In fact, we don't try, we strive for perfection. We rarely look at another website because we have an abundance of ideas that flow within the staff and we post those. We do a lot of research to try to give the most productive thing that would be the most help to individuals, no matter what their level of understanding is or what their level of understanding about Christian Science is. And the first thing I said, level of understanding, I meant about God and man and the relationship, or about Christian Science in general, or about religion, or about any of the authors. Maybe they know nothing about the situation that is being dealt with on the international level. The opportunity is there. Mary Baker Eddy said we can keep as busy as we want to keep in just being productive in our activities with Christian Science. So you can interpret that any way you like. I don't think I mentioned much about the operators. The operators are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And I mentioned the four levels are on page 115 and 116. As a matter of fact, if you click on the page that is the link from at the top of any page that says Divine Metaphysics, that will take you to the page that will explain all three things: the seven terms for God, the four operators, and the four levels. And it will give you pages where you can educate yourself on what those are. So that's better than trying to do it here at the tail end of a prayer treatment that's this length. I will close by reciting a prayer that Mary Baker Eddy gave to her class of 1898, which was her most advanced class and her final one. She gave them an assignment on the third day to go out and heal someone. And they all had to come back the next morning and report their success. She hand-selected every single one that was in that class. So it was a very special class. Money couldn't buy you entrance into the class. She had to feel that with an interview with you, that you were open to spiritual advancement and were very energetic about pursuing a serious improvement from whatever level you were to a higher level. And those were all the students in the class. So she gave seven different prayers called Diapason of Heaven, one for each of the seven terms for God. And I will select one and recite it to you as the closing of this prayer treatment on the topic selected is spirit, because the topic of the prayer treatment is self-purification, intelligent schedule, and disciplined monitoring, and that all relates to mind and spirit. Spirit for purification, because the opposite of spirit is matter, and spirit itself is flawless, transparent, and therefore reflective. This is the spirit focus on the diapason of heaven. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen. It is 25:06:30 at 12:53. The end.